Welcome to Ripple Effect Connection. I'm your host, Christy Hugick. This is a podcast created to help bridge the gap between impactful messages and inspiring messengers. The goal is to ignite transformative discussions that create a ripple effect of positive change in your life and the lives of others. This is an episode fresh off Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Month, which was March. Today, I'm joined by a remarkable guest who's here to offer invaluable insights, not just for those battling MS, but for anyone navigating the challenges of autoimmune diseases. In 2017, I received my own MS diagnosis, and it's become part of my mission to empower others to realize they have a voice in their journey. That's why I've invited Canadian author Leslie Wingrowich to share her remarkable story and her latest book, Live Like You're Not Scared. Leslie's journey is one of resilience and determination. Faced with a dire prognosis that she would never walk again, she defied the odds with unwavering courage and a holistic approach to healing. In her book, she fearlessly invites us into the raw reality of her experiences, showing us that no obstacle is insurmountable when met with faith, courage, and a mind, body, and spirit approach to healing. As a nurse, devoted wife, and mother, Leslie's story embodies the power of embracing life with unyielding determination. In a world where the prevalence of autoimmune disease is on the rise, there's a chance that you or someone close to you could benefit from Leslie's message of hope and inspiration. Leslie, let me be the first to welcome you to this podcast. It is an honor to have you here.
Christy, thank you for having me.
I know I start with the same question with every podcast guest, but it's an important one to me, and it's one that's always permeated my life in every aspect. But I always ask it, what is your why? So we can start with that.
My why, ever since I was a young girl, Christy, I just had a desire to help people. And that's what gravitated me toward the medical profession.
So talk about your background in that medical field. Tell me about how that interest came about, what you were doing, and kind of walk me through your medical background.
It would be nice to tell you that I come from a medical family and it passed down to me. That's not the case at all. I actually dated a handsome doctor, and we would be sailing on the ocean blue, and he said, "Have you ever considered being a nurse?" And I had not, and it was not until he offered that career as a suggestion to me. My family are educators, teachers, and that was, I thought that I was going to follow in their footsteps until this handsome blue-eyed blonde doctor said, why don't you consider nursing? And it was him. He was instrumental in my career path.
How long ago was that? When did that happen?
That was about 15 years ago, actually longer now, Christy, you're dating me here. I think it'd be about 20 years ago. So what happened was I had went to university to become a teacher, and I was just all over the place. I took some education courses, some business courses. I just couldn't find my niche. And then when I met this man who was a delightful influence in my life, I decided to return to university, finish my degree. And here in Canada, we have a few nursing programs that are offered, two-year nursing programs if you are a degree holder. So I frantically finished my degree and applied to the three universities in our country that offer a two-year program. And delightfully, I was accepted into a program in Alberta.
And what jobs did that lead you to in the medical field?
Yes. Well, prior to even applying to nursing school, I knew right away, Christy, that I wanted to do the adrenaline pumping excitement. I wanted the trauma nursing, the emergency nursing, the ICU, flying around on the life-saving helicopter, and that's exactly what I did.
So you were in that field, and then I want you to just take us through the details that led up to your multiple sclerosis diagnosis? Kind of what were the circumstances, what were the symptoms, and what went down when you finally did get your diagnosis?
Yes. So after the birth of my first child, I decided to leave the acute care world, and I did a complete 180, and I worked for a world-renowned dermatologist here in Alberta, and that was a lovely experience. But I was being called to take care of my children at home. So after the birth of my second child, my child was 10 weeks old at the time, just a wee little newborn, and I woke up to the sound of her crying for her breakfast milk, and I swung my legs over the bed, and I discovered that I was paralyzed on the right side of my body overnight without warning. It was catastrophic, as I'm sure you can appreciate. I was rushed to emergency, underwent an emergency MRI, and it was at that time I was told that I would never walk again. So Of course, I was devastated and just really distraught, for lack of a better word, and returned home. And I was left thinking, what now? As many are when you're given a crippling autoimmune diagnosis. I thought, okay. But Christy, I also, with my medical background, I just thought to myself, this can't be it. This can't be it. The details surrounding my diagnosis are important. I was 222 pounds and 5'7", so that labeled me medically as obese. I was vaping at the time from a tobacco pen. And we had some family stressors, as we all do, but it was cumulative. And I thought, I'm wondering if any of these circumstances that I'm dealing with could have contributed to this diagnosis. Because, Christy, I was quite a dedicated varsity athlete when I was young. I also did some modeling and took part in some beauty pageants. I was not obese as a child, and I certainly was not disabled as a child. As I said, I was an athlete. And I thought, I need to go deeper in this. When did I start to accumulate all of the trigger signs, trigger warnings for an autoimmune disease? So I really had to go back to basics and start peeling back the onion layers to figure out what the cause was.
And what were some of those onion layers that you came up with? Because it sounds like you and I were the same. Like you're first, yeah, you're shocked by a diagnosis. Obviously, you had a symptom that was obviously extremely shocking to deal with. But you kind of get that, and your mind kind of goes forward, and you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to have a say in this matter. What can I do? So what were some of those layers that you peeled back?
That's exactly right, Christy. I thought, I have a say in my life, and I'm certainly not in the passenger seat here. I'm in the driver's seat. And the first thing I did was I started researching individuals that had the same diagnosis. And it turns out I'm not alone. This is a very prevalent disease. And there are some very heavy hitters in our world that conquered this disease through diet, lifestyle, and going through, as you said, the onion layers. And so first and foremost, Christy, I realized that what we put into our body matters. What we feed our mind matters. And so the analogy that I think is phenomenal to use, and it certainly rings true for me and many others, I think, with an autoimmune disease, is what do we do, Christy, when we're driving in our vehicle, or what are we supposed to do when we see the engine light, the check engine light come on our car? Sometimes, and I'm guilty of it as well, sometimes we drive around a little bit, we ignore it, drives my husband crazy because he says, how long was this engine light on for? Oh, I don't know, maybe a week. Well, when we are diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, I quickly realize that it's just simply our body talking to us. It's simply our check engine light is coming on. We have the option to ignore it, of course, as some of us do. I'm guilty of it as well. You drive around in the vehicle for a little longer before you check the engine light. But as we're all aware, if you don't address that check engine light, what happens to our vehicle? It breaks down. And Joe Rogan, he says, he refers to our bodies as our meat vehicles. And I thought that was so fitting because they are indeed our meat vehicle. And if we don't take care of our vehicle, then it breaks down. And mine broke down. So I had to, coming back to the analogy of the onion layers, I had to go back through my life and figure out, when did the wheels start to come off the bus, sort of speak? When did things start to fall apart? And why is my check engine light on?
And when you're looking back at there, what was the most impactful revelation that you had about things that maybe had accumulated? And I do think sometimes there's this component to, for peace of mind and also for prevention going forward, it's really important to go back and look at these things, because we want to be able to heal going forward. But to heal going forward, you need to look back. So what were some of those impactful things that you discovered?
Well said. We do have to reflect, don't we? Well, in the book that I wrote recently, Christy, I thought I need to put together a guide, sort of speak. I wish that when I was diagnosed, I was given 15 minutes in the room with my neurologist, if you can believe that. 15 minutes with two young children, told I was never going to walk again. And in fact, I, even though as disabled as I was not disabled enough that I was offered medication. I needed to have one more attack before I could be given medication. So I was not eligible for disability. I was not eligible for medication. And I was literally sent home to wait for another attack. Well, that's certainly not my personality. And I, if you know me at all, I'm quite a bookworm. So I thought, okay, I'm going to roll up my sleeves here, or sleeve in my current state, because my right arm laid dead at my side. I'm going to go through this. And I have a quote in my book here, Christy. Oprah Winfrey has a phenomenal quote. And she says here, keeping a journal will change your life in ways that you've never imagined. And I thought, okay, well, that's a pretty impactful statement. So I started to keep a journal and I started to look back over my days, and eventually it graduated to looking back over my life. And when I started to look at some physicians that have looked at MS, some really impactful physicians, Dr. Gabor Mate, who specializes in trauma, he studied 90% of the patients that he reviewed, women specifically, MS specifically, had sexual trauma in their past. It is unfortunate to admit and difficult to talk about, but I have a sexual assault in my past. I was sexually assaulted by a family member at a young age. And I told myself, I have a strong personality, I have a loving family, that it didn't affect me. And then when I started going through Gabor Mate's research, I realized that there was a reason why I was eating foods that were not nourishing to my body. In fact, they were really quite harmful. Not only I was involved, as I mentioned, in trauma and emergency, and not to suggest that every trauma nurse and every emergency nurse will develop MS, but as I mentioned, Christy, it's onion layers. It's all encompassing. As I refer to it in my book, it's a tangled ball of yarn. And so I had the shameful sexual assault from my past. I had some significant trauma in my life, some family issues that I was dealing with. And then my career choice. I was dealing with some very stressful events at work. Death and dying were a very day-to-day. It was my day-to-day throughout my life, throughout my career, rather. And I just thought, I'm wondering if this is too much trauma for the body to be able to deal with all in one time. So coming back to Oprah's quote, I decided to go through my life year by year and start to peel back the layers and figure out when did this begin? The trauma was impactful, of course, and then my career choice as well. And I realized that diet and lifestyle, as the famous Terry Walls has pointed out, the author of the Walls Protocol, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and took the pharmaceutical drugs to band-aid the problem. And she was getting worse. And it wasn't until she addressed the food that she was eating and her lifestyle that she started to heal herself of multiple sclerosis. And that was the light bulb moment for me.
Yeah, and I think that Dr. Terry Wall's story is so inspirational, and it's very similar to yours in that she was, you know, she was disabled. She was not, you know, able to function properly. So there becomes this point, you look back, you evaluate, you find these things and you spin it forward. You start to change your diet. Just so everyone knows, not to spoil the punchline, Dr. Terry Walls is able to walk. She's active today. You are able to walk and you are active. So can you give folks a timeline of the things that you did and how you did get back to just refute that diagnosis? Because I can't imagine what it's like to hear those words, that you will never walk again. And you have denied that and gone so much deeper. So if you can give people a timeline, I think that would help too.
Christy, I'm so proud of my timeline, actually. So I was diagnosed in January 2019. And I was walking again in 4 months. How did I do that? Well, I picked up a copy of the Terry Walls Protocol, God bless Amazon, ordered it right to my door. And I realized that there are certain foods that are causing inflammation in our bodies. And I just cut those foods out. The diet is rather simplistic. No dairy, no gluten, no sugar. What does that leave? It actually leaves a multitude of things. I eat beautiful proteins and green salads. I'm even permitted black rice in my diet. And Christy, I'm proud to report that I lost 75 pounds in 4 months. And this is without a gym membership or supplements. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time, as I mentioned, and we were on one income. So I did not have the luxury of a expensive health coach or supplements. I certainly was not physically able to attend the gym. I simply went on daily walks around my neighborhood and as much as my body would permit. And day by day, my body healed.
Yeah. And I mean, you must be so proud. And when you look back on that moment and what you were told, what comes to your mind now?
Christy, I'm a woman of faith, and I believe that we can accomplish all things if we put our minds to it. And one thing that I want to make our listeners very, very aware of is I am not anti-pharma. As a former ICU and trauma nurse, I have administered life-saving medications, and my colleagues, you know, continue to administer life-saving medications. When it comes to autoimmune diseases, however, I do like to revert back to the check engine light, the check engine light analogy, because our bodies are speaking to us. And yes, there are medications put in place that can help relieve the symptoms while we're healing. But these medications, I believe, and backed by the research in my book, is that these physicians are saying that these medications are wonderful as a stepping stone to healing. But if our check engine light is on, we really do need to check that engine and not continue to drive to our destinations, because the check engine light doesn't go away, just as it doesn't go away in our vehicles. And if we do check in with ourselves and peel back those layers, we can accomplish incredible things.
Let's talk about why you decided to write the book, and let's talk about the steps that you do have in your book, because it's overwhelming for people sometimes, and so they do need steps and they do need help, and I think your book can be that. So can you talk about why you did that and just some of the things that you have in that book that can be helpful?
Christy, I was diagnosed with MS at the age of 34. I had two young children. My husband is a very hardworking man and was working 12, 13-hour days away from the home, so I was left alone. I do have a strong personality, I will say. I think it takes a certain personality type to work in trauma and emerge, and I certainly have I will admit that I do have a strong personality and also blessed to have the medical background that I do. So the reason why I wrote the book is because I was incredibly alone. As I mentioned, I was given 15 minutes in the room with the neurologist. I also mentioned that I was not eligible for medication, and they made very clear that some of the medication, one of them in particular, had a 4% chance of cardiac arrest, a heart attack. And I thought, my goodness, you know, here I am. We have no money, broke as a joke, as they say. I was not working, home taking care of two children. And I thought, I'm going to heal myself. I'm going to reverse this. I'm going to start making myself and my health a priority, and I'm going to help others do the same. And I simply put together a book, which is a step-by-step guide of exactly how you can overcome this as well. I really appreciate the heavy hitters that have come before me, the Terry Walls and the Anne Baroche, and Louise Hay wrote a phenomenal book called You Can Heal Your Life. And I can admit and I can appreciate that not everyone is a bookworm. Not everyone enjoys delving into research. And that is something that I wanted to gift individuals that are struggling, because I feel that I wrote my book in a way that is, it's an easy read, Christy. As I mentioned, it's step by step. And it's something that if someone is, unfortunately or fortunately, I guess depending on how you look at it, diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and they're now, their check engine light is on, I wanted to present them with something that they could simply follow step by step.
What are some of the highlights of those 15 steps? 15 steps, right? Do I have that right? 15?
You do. And with my OCD medical background, I really wanted it to be 12 steps, Christy, because it actually was a full year from January to December of my healing journey. I would desperately wanted it to be 12 steps, but it is indeed 15. Of course, we're not going to go through the 15 today, but the first step, I think, is one of the most paramount, as number one generally is, and that's having a vision. I really enjoy reading books by individuals in our world that have accomplished great things. Oprah Winfrey and Steve Harvey, T.D. Jakes, just to name a few. And they all seem to be saying the same thing, but they're saying it in their own special way. And they all said the most important thing that you can have is a vision. And Steve Harvey is also a gentleman of faith, and he pulled a Bible verse from the Bible, and it says that without a vision, the people perish. And I thought, oh, gracious, okay, well, what is my vision? Well, my vision is to walk. My vision is to drive my car. My vision is to play with my children. So Christy, I would challenge others to simply start there. What do you want for your life? Some people who are diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, they're not interested in putting their health under the microscope, because it is work, Christy. I'm not going to pretend that it's not. It is a lot of work, and it's not for the faint of heart. But if you have a warrior spirit and you're interested in returning back to the path that you feel you were destined to be on, step one would be a vision. Step two, I'm scrambling these from the book, but step two, I believe, would be what we're putting into our bodies is very important, and what we're putting into our minds as well. I was very careful with what I was watching on television. I mentioned in the book that I shut out the media from my home. It's very important that we're well-versed in what's going on in our world, of course. However, I don't need to be daily reminded of the poverty and famine and war that is going on in our world, because it eats our soul. And as a woman of faith, I pray for our world, and I put out positive thoughts and vibrations and affirmations for our world. But I was adamant that I was going to surround myself with positive, uplifting images. I had a vision for my life, and I was armed and dangerous.
I would 100% concur with all that. And I know that, you know, I've said it before to clients and patients, is that you have to have a vision of what you want this to look like. Because if you don't, you're not going to achieve it. And I think what happens and can happen, and I think you and I talked about this off of this podcast, but I think what we see is that people will get a diagnosis. And what I want to say too right here, it is difficult to hear that diagnosis. It is difficult to be that person that is not able to walk or has some kind of disability. It's really, really hard. So I want to tell those people right now and here that I see you. But then what I see on the other side is you can get stuck really easily and quickly and be depressed and not understand that there are things you can do. And I think for me, it was, I can only integrate a little bit of my own story because I want to say also, first and foremost, I never had a symptom that's as serious as that. I can only live my own journey. But the first thing I thought to myself was, what can I control? What can I control here, right? It's what I eat. It's how I sleep, how I get my rest. It's my attitude. And those are the things that are controllables for me. So I guess, what have you seen in the way of some others that have been diagnosed that maybe do get caught in that spiral? And how can we help them get out of that spiral so that they can do something and realize they have a say in it?
What a powerful question, Christy. Yes, what can we do? And coming back to the book, that's exactly why I wrote it, Christy. I wanted a step-by-step guide for people because we are in the driver's seat of our lives. And for people who are stuck, I think it's important that they understand that there is so much hope that, yes, the symptoms can be quite severe, but our bodies are pretty incredible machines. And if we get out of our way, so to speak, and allow our bodies to do what they do best and heal and rejuvenate, as long as we give our bodies the right tools. And I'd like to jump in and say, I'm wondering if I can find the book here. Unfortunately, it's not within my eyesight here. However, when we don't feed our bodies appropriately, we have... This was just fascinating when I learned this. This was revolutionary for me. It's interesting that I waited this long to speak about it. There is a term that is now adopted into the medical community that is a real term, as silly as it sounds, called leaky gut. And there is a longer medical term, but leaky gut is being used so often now that it has been adopted into the medical terminology. And it's very, very simplistic. The analogy that's best to use is a brick wall, and the mortar that's in between the bricks becomes damaged when we do not feed our bodies the appropriate nourishing foods. And when that mortar between the bricks is damaged, then bugs and bacteria that are supposed to stay in the body and be eliminated by the body naturally, they can wiggle their way in into the bloodstream and then into the brain. And there you have your autoimmune diseases. So, gracious, how do you fix that mortar? How do you fix that brick wall? Well, you simply feed your body nourishing foods that are clearly outlined in Dr. Terry Wall's protocol. They're outlined in my book as well, and many, many others. And we just need to get out of the way, Christy. I also speak in the book about our problems lie in our patterns. What are we doing daily that is a positive part of our routine? And what are we doing that is a negative part of our routine? And we really need to put those negative aspects under the microscope and eventually remove them one by one so that we're just left with a positive routine that ends in a nourishing lifestyle.
Yeah, and I think some of these things are so subconsciously done, and it's just that pause, the mindfulness that you can suddenly have, which is where the journaling can come in. And why, like, would always recommend to health coaching clients when they're first starting, even if it was just a whole 30 that they were doing, the journaling, you don't have to do it forever if it feels cumbersome, but in the beginning, it's really important to help you get to know yourself and understand that there are certain things that make me feel worse or better. There are things that are nourishing for me and things that are not. And when you can write them down and you can kind of have that pause to understand them, you can help to move forward. But I think I told you this story. I had been asked to speak at, you know, support groups before. And I am there to talk about diet and food as medicine and the food component of what can be done. It's talked about so little by doctors. There are some that talk about it more than others, but a lot who literally they don't even hear about this, which is, at this point, is kind of amazing considering all the research and books and things out there. And you go to an MS support group and there are people a lot worse off than me. And I told you that was very emotional for me to see, because I'm like thinking to myself, why them, not me? And I would say then, like, well, okay, let's talk about food. And then on the table is donuts, pizza, soda. So, you know, I think, first of all, I want to thank you for putting your book out into the world and for coming on and, you know, for sharing this. But, you know, how do we keep fighting the good fight here about how autoimmune disease is treated? Because I don't know how it is in Canada, but in here, there's just not enough conversation. I understand pharmaceutical drugs can be important, but I just don't think there's enough conversation in the general medical field about the diet.
Christy, I couldn't agree more, and I really liked what you said about it being subconscious. We certainly don't have patterns in our day-to-day that we say to ourselves, okay, these patterns are going to lead toward an autoimmune disease. Of course not. I will share with you quickly that when I was diagnosed, being the personality that I have, and I'd like to proclaim myself as a go-getter. And I said to the neurologist, I said, sir, I'm really overweight. I'm not eating healthy. I don't have a healthy lifestyle. I'm not sleeping well. I'm smoking and on the tobacco pen. Like these things cannot be good for my health. If I address these issues, do you think that would be an help with this autoimmune disease? And the answer was no. My gracious. The answer was no. He said to me, no, Leslie, that is not going to help. He said, you can try it, but that's not going to help. And when he said that to me, I thought, you know, we really must be advocates for ourselves, because I know myself. I know the food that I was putting in my body. And I liked what you said, Christy, about food is medicine. It certainly is. I believe it was Socrates who said it is food that will heal our bodies. So if we can, as you said, Christy, go through our patterns, subconscious or not, and look through those and just see what are we doing here? What are the changes that we can make? And even if we make these changes one at a time, we're certainly taking steps toward. Coming back to your question, how about the conversation, how is it addressed in Canada? I can only speak to my own journey. However, we do have a gentleman here in our city that by the name of Matt Embry, who produced a international film that's now available on Amazon Prime called Living Proof. Matt Embry was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at a young age, and he and his father is a PhD holder, and he did some research on diet. And Matt implemented this diet in his own life and did a phenomenal job with his documentary that, as I said, is available on Amazon Prime. And he just showed that diet does indeed change the prognosis of your life. And that if we could simply have physicians be open-minded to the healing process. And I think what I was left with when I was diagnosed and I left the office in a wheelchair, my husband was wheeling me out of the room, I thought, I really need to look at the why. I really need to look at the why here. Rather than the diagnosis title that I have now been stamped with, why did this happen and how do I unravel this ball of yarn? And I think that's the question that physicians need to really embrace.
Yeah, I think that it just, you know, you can only, I don't fault a lot of physicians, because like there's no training, you know, per se. When you're becoming a doctor, you're not getting schooled on these things. I mean, I've had people come to me when I was coaching even just Whole30, and they would say to me, like, I don't know about this. Like, tell me what you're seeing. Tell me what this is. And that was like, what, 2017, 18, not that long ago. So you think about that. And I don't fault the doctors, you know, but I think things have to change a little. And the training, there needs to be some training and openness to this. So what do you think your biggest takeaway on autoimmune disease and the people diagnosed, what is your biggest takeaway from all the research, all the experience that you have had, and all the approaches, even the ones that you're outlining in your book? What's the biggest takeaways from this? And I know we've probably hit a couple of them, but...
My biggest takeaway, Christy, would be that we are in control. Our bodies are powerful machines that can heal themselves as long as we implement the appropriate tools. And sometimes those tools are just simply broccoli and spinach and journaling to pull out those unhealthy patterns that we've adopted, because you're not born with multiple sclerosis. It's something that you accumulate over time and then rears its ugly head at an unfortunate time of your life. It is reversible. I am not a pioneer, Christy. I am one of thousands and thousands of individuals that have reversed this diagnosis. And it is work, but it can be done.
What does that work look like for you now? Now that you're on the other side of that diagnosis, people are going to want to know, you know, how you're maintaining that success, how you, you know, you're, you know, unfortunately, it'll tell us they'll tell us we can't be cured. We don't still have it, but people will say that, you know, you still have this disease, but I know you feel as if you're healing. So what does that look like right now for you now that you're on the other side of this diagnosis?
I can't speak enough to the importance of patterns and our lifestyle. And there are patterns that were in place in my life that were not aiding me at all. In fact, they were hurting me very much. And now I realize that appropriate sleep is important. What we feed our bodies, what we feed our mind is important. And these are steps and processes and a pattern in my life that I'm not willing to deviate from anymore. Before, it was just an idea or a nice thought. Getting a good night's sleep is a nice idea. It's not a nice idea, Christy. It's imperative. It's absolutely imperative. It's imperative that we put ourselves first. And coming back to Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, she talks a lot about self-love, putting yourself first. And MS is very high in women. And research shows that women do not do a very good job of taking care of themselves. We take care of everyone else around us, and we don't take care of ourselves. Well, I wasn't doing a good job of taking care of my household and my family when I was crawling around on the floor disabled. So I thought I must put myself first, and in terms of my health. And then therefore, I'm able to take care of others around me, which is my ultimate goal.
Yeah. And I think I loved kind of what you said to me was that you wished you had a roadmap. So you created one. So someone gets diagnosed right now. You know, I don't think anyone forgets the day you receive that diagnosis. You know, for me, it was, I always remember the day. Here I was going to get, I had gotten a brain and a cervical spine MRI, not thinking we're going to see anything that was a big deal. And here I am going to pick it up on my own to give my chiropractor a copy of the neck MRI. And here I am in the car reading the MRI report, and I see lesions consistent with multiple sclerosis. And I was like, what? You know, and I sat there in my car stunned. Like, I'll never forget it. I was by myself. I sat there stunned. And it can be jarring. It absolutely can. And after you've had that moment of, okay, it's time to be ready to do something, what's the best advice you can give someone? I think it's pick up your book, because you need help. You need help. It's not easy. It's not easy. So I really want to thank you for coming on and talking about this. Is there anything else you want to leave people with? Because I know when we do this, and I'm going to have you also give how we can reach out to you, but is there anything you want to leave people with? Because this episode is obviously going to come at the very tippy end of multiple sclerosis awareness. Is there anything else you want to leave people with?
I'm thank you so much, Christy, for sharing your story. What I'd like to leave people with is you're not alone. You're not alone, and we are in this battle with you together. And that is the reason why I created this book, so that you do not feel alone and that you have, as I playfully refer to in the book, a yellow brick road to healing. You have the steps. If you implement the steps, you will heal. You're not alone. We're in this together.
Okay, and then let's let people know. I will tag all the resources that we talked about today, including Dr. Terry Wall's book. No problem giving shout outs to that too. But I want you to tell people again the name of the book, how they can get the book, and how they can connect with you.
So my book is called Live Like You're Not Scared, Unlock Your Potential, and it's available on Amazon. It's available in an ebook, paperback, and hard copy as well. And you can reach me on my Instagram and Facebook handles. I have a website as well, lesliewingerwich.com. And I am just open to receiving emails of questions that you may have, if you'd like to work with me. Just like you said, Christy, when you were sitting in your car reading this scan of your brain, and you can see that there's a problem. How scary that must have been for you, and how scary that is for people all over the world. And I wish I could say that this diagnosis is rare. It's not. It's very, very common. And but we're in this together. Just like the title of my book, Live Like You're Not Scared, we're not scared. We're not going to live in fear. We're going to live in a place of awareness and research. And the research is there. We just need to follow that yellow brick road.
Leslie, thank you so much for sharing everything, and I know you will be back on again soon.
Thank you for having me, Christy.
That's a wrap for today. I want to thank Leslie for sharing so authentically and genuinely, and I hope you found inspiration in her words. I'm always up for your feedback on this or any other topic. I have never made my autoimmune disease journey a secret, and I'm always happy to continue the conversation about this or any of the podcast topics on social media. Feel free to continue to connect and let me know what resonated, and reach out on Instagram at Whole Health Christy. You can also get the full show notes for this and any episode on my website, christyhugick.com. Next, spread the inspiration. Like, follow, review, and especially share this podcast with others who may benefit from this information. Stay tuned for the next episode of Ripple Effect Connection. Let's create waves of change together.